The following program, Normal Show Live, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate for the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate or encourage any illegal activity and advise all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws by visiting normal.org, N-O-R-M-L.org. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers of Normal Show Live are their own and do not necessarily reflect the philosophy and policies of Normal. Listener discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it,
and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization.
And I think we need to rethink and criminalize our marijuana laws.
To the agony of prohibition.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws presents Normal Show Live, Marijuana Nation. Now, here's your host, Normal's Outreach Coordinator, Radical Russ Belville.
Good afternoon, tokers and tokettes, and welcome. It is Monday, December 13th, 2010, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. Thanks for joining us for the next 60 minutes of news, talk, interviews, information, music, comedy, and more that is podcast as the Normal Daily Audio Stash, followed by another hour of live talk and call-ins that we call Toker Talk Radio. Altogether, it's Normal Show Live, and we thank you so much for joining us. Normally joining us here in the studio would be our board operator, Ganja John, but unfortunately, he had to go to the hospital for a whole bunch of tests, and he can't be with us today. Yeah, I know. I know. Settle down. He'll be back soon enough. But joining us from our virtual studio in Grastoria, Oregon, is the lovely and talented Cannabis Carrie.
Hello, Raz. Happy Monday.
Happy Monday to you, and we're missing Ganja John. He nothing serious, folks. Don't worry about him. It's just, you know, they got to, you know, when you get a new organ, they need to test you out every now and then, and so that's what's going on there. How was your weekend, Carrie?
You know, my weekend was great. I went to an adult-themed, not adult-themed, I'm saying that all wrong, but I meant a grown-up cocktail party for the holidays. It was really interesting. I was the only one there that wasn't drinking, and it was a lot of fun, but I sort of got a real sense for people that don't want to legalize marijuana because they don't want to have to deal with high people all the time. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's interesting, especially when you're at a cocktail party learning that amongst a bunch of people who are buzzed on alcohol. That's always interesting, isn't
right.
it?
All right. They were all well behaved. It was a good time.
That's a good time. It was had by all. Hey, folks, on today's show, we got all sorts of stuff for you coming up at half past the hour. As we get these last couple of weeks in of 2010, we're going to take a look at the best and the worst of 2010, both in our radical rants and some of the news stories and some of the interviews that we've covered all over this past year. So today we begin that, and at half past we'll have a best of radical rant, one of my rants from back in the summertime, what's wrong with getting high? Then after that, at 45 after, another rant. That's right. Two rants for the price of one today. A rant on drug testing facts. There was an article in the Huffington Post today that I wanted to address about drug testing and driving. This is a very controversial subject, and we'll get all the science behind us before we start to talk about it. Also, we'll have our cannabis community calendar today, and we'll get you the updates on KushCon. We have raised $675 from our listeners for the bandwidth out there at KushCon. We appreciate that so much. We're going to be able to bring you the best possible show. There's still a little more. We need about $120 more to get up to the next level that we want for the bandwidth. So if you can donate, just send via PayPal to radicalruss@gmail.com, or you can send your check or money order to 4110 Southeast Hawthorne Boulevard, Portland, Oregon, Hawthorne Boulevard number 161, Portland, Oregon, 97214. We'll have some graphics for that up on the page here in just a second, so you can get that. Also today, we got our Roots Monday. We're going to go back into the vaults for some reefer jazz. You're listening to Normal Show Live. We'll be back right after this.
You're listening to Normal Show Live. the voice of the Marijuana Nation.
Georgia.
Hi, this is Willie Nelson, and I need your help. Alcohol prohibition didn't work in the 20s, and marijuana prohibition isn't working today. It's time we stop arresting law-abiding citizens because they prefer marijuana over alcohol. Nearly 2,000 Americans are arrested every day on marijuana charges. We're unfairly destroying the lives and careers of hundreds of thousands of people each year simply because they smoke marijuana. These are not criminals. They're average citizens like you, good neighbors who work hard, raise families, pay taxes, and contribute to their communities. We need your help to end marijuana prohibition once and for all. It's the fair thing to do.
For more information, contact NORML, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws. Call toll-free 888-67-NORML or visit their website at norml.org.
Alternative Medical Choices presents Danny Danko. High Times Magazine Senior Cultivation Editor Danny Danko will meet and greet fans, answer questions, and sign copies of his newest book, The High Times Field Guide to Marijuana Strains. Admission is only $30 and includes a copy of Danny's book. Call 503-288-5579 for more information or visit altmedchoices.com. Come meet the great Danny Danko.
Egyptians grew it, Indians grew it, so it's grown more.
You want to legalize it? Call your congressman today. 202-224-3121. It's free, it's easy, and you don't even have to give your name. Just your zip code, and they'll hook you up to your congressman. Call 202-224-3121 and tell Congress you support marijuana legalization.
Liberate your mind. Liberate your mind.
Medical marijuana, industrial hemp, consumer cannabis. It's time for this week's NORML News with Cannabis Carry.
During a global marijuana march event last spring, Denver police cited Lacey Lee for carrying a joint through the streets of Denver. The entire arrest was videotaped and showed a police officer walking through a crowd of marching, sign-carrying protesters to tap Miss Lee on the shoulder. She was very cooperative and told the officers that someone had just handed it to her. She was cited for possession, an offense with a maximum fine of $100. After seeing the video, Colorado attorney Rob Corey felt the case was so outrageous that he agreed to represent her pro bono. Corey pointed out that Denver hasn't just made small-time possession a low priority in the city, but law enforcement as the lowest priority in the city. Denver voters approved medical marijuana in 2000, but they also voted to legalize cannabis in 2004 and 2006 and deprioritized marijuana enforcement in 2008. Despite all of this, including the Denver Police Department, which has generally avoided making arrests during marijuana rallies, they decided to pick Lacey Lee out of a crowd and write her a citation for the joint that she held in her hand. The police spent thousands of dollars to prosecute her as the case moved through the court system. Police had to take paid days off to appear in court, all for an offense that carries a maximum fine of just $100. Now, after shelling out the court costs of putting a small-time cannabis offender through the system, last Thursday the city was forced to drop the case. Because after all of this, the police were unable to find the joint that was evidence in the case. Without the offending joint to support the charge, the police are forced to drop the case against Lacey Lee. So it seems that the officers involved failed to collect the joint in question, which had been passed to Lee by an unknown person. Attorney Corey said that the fact that the arrest happened at a march to protest the wasteful policies of the city arresting people for simple possession just seems to prove the point.
Carrie, I don't know how much more I can say that that story hasn't already said. If you want a proof of how insane the prohibition of marijuana is and how addicted to locking up stoners the police agencies have become, this is the perfect story. Can't even keep track of the evidence, but yet they want to prosecute this lady, put her through thousands of dollars worth of court costs and taxpayers' money spent for these cops to take overtime all over a $100 ticket. It's why we're starting to see a lot of conservatives now coming around to the notion of ending the war on drugs. This was a tweet that I just received before we got on air, where there was a new call amongst conservatives to defund the Office of National Drug Control Policy, to actually, you know, do budget busting or budget controls here to try to fight against the deficit by eliminating wasteful government programs. There is no more wasteful government program than the Office of National Drug Control Policy. Drug control should be mandated to the states. It's what we see in our 10th Amendment to the Constitution. The 10th Amendment says that any powers that are not delineated directly through the Constitution to the federal government are the powers of the people or of the states. I'm all for drug controls by state agencies. If they want to decide state by state what they want to do, the federal government has no right to be telling us what plants we put into our bodies.
Now, we've always known that growing marijuana can be very lucrative. Well, now it turns out that even growing it in virtual reality might be lucrative as well. Facebook, the popular social networking site, censored a marijuana leaf in any advertising for legalizing marijuana, even though a co-founder and a former president of the company both donated press-worthy amounts to Prop 19 this year to legalize marijuana in California. Well, we've always made the fact known that even though you might not see a marijuana leaf in the advertising on Facebook, it's not difficult to find marijuana leaves everywhere else on Facebook. Now, one of the fastest growing games is a free game called Pot Farm, a counterculture response to their popular game Farmville. Game developers say that Pot Farm is being played by 1.5 million users every month. The game developers are also boasting grossing about $148,000 a month as users spend real money to advance in the game. The game begins with a gift of a small field and a little bit of money to buy seeds. Players advance by planting more expensive strains and selling their crops to buy other tools like fertilizers and gardening tools. Access to Pot Farm is restricted to players 21 and older, and no one in the game is ever shown smoking the crops. Facebook also made the makers of Pot Farm pull a hookah pipe from the game. The popularity of this virtual pot farming game has even spun into items into the real world, like mouse pads and t-shirts with pictures of the game's characters and the layouts. They are also selling pretty well, according to the gamers. Marijuana, it seems, is big business, even when it's not real.
Oh boy, I don't know what to say about this one, because on the one hand, I think it's kind of cool that we're once again showing the popularity of marijuana, we're showing the power of marijuana economics, and once again, marijuana is coming more and more into the mainstream. So that's on the one hand. On the other hand, I hate those stupid Facebook games. I can't stand them. I get on every now and then when I get on Facebook, I got someone who wants me to help them with their Mafia War, help them with their Farmville, and now I got another one to have to deal with, a pot farm to have to deal with, and being, you know, radical Russ from Normal, I can just see the pot farm request coming in right now. Folks, let me just nip this in the bud, pardon the pun, right away. Don't get me involved in this Facebook pot farm thing. I'm not gonna play. I have much more fun with the real thing than any virtual pot farm that could ever exist in America.
And as KushCon draws near, it will be held in Denver this coming weekend. You can't throw the world's largest cannabis convention and not have a little bit of controversy. Denver area buses have been showing ads for the major event in what is possibly the first marijuana-related advertising on public transit anywhere in the country. The ads say, "Have a Kush Day," with event details. KushCon is being sponsored by Kush Magazine this coming weekend and boasts 300,000 square feet of holiday fun and exhibitors. The Cannabis Lifestyle Convention got the bus ads approved last month, and now Colorado law enforcement groups are complaining that the ads send the wrong message. A letter written last week to the Regional Transportation District Board of Directors by the Colorado Investigators Association said that, quote, advertising a marijuana conference on the sides of Colorado's main source of public transportation will do anything but prevent further drug abuse. The letter was written by the association's vice president, who is an investigator with the North Metro Drug Task Force, and he asked the RTD to remove the ads. He claims that advertising something that is federally illegal shouldn't belong on buses funded partially with public monies. On Friday, a second letter, this time for the Colorado Association of Chief of Police, sent a letter saying it was sending a mixed message to the public and to the youth of Colorado. RTD spokesman Scott Reed said Friday that the ads would stay up, although the transportation district told CushCon to modify them slightly to better reflect that they are paid advertisements. Quote, it's an ad for an event that is being legally held at the Colorado Convention Center. He said there should be no implication of support or endorsement for that event. RTD policy prohibits ads that tout illegal products or services, and Reed pointed out that they do not allow ads for medical marijuana dispensaries, even though medical marijuana is legal in Colorado, because marijuana distribution is illegal federally. But despite being called a cannabis lifestyle event, the event will not include any marijuana on site, according to Bob Seelan, the chief executive that publishes Kush Magazine, and said that the main purpose of the event is to provide information to medical marijuana patients and others curious about the benefits of cannabis. He says the ads on the buses are pretty harmless, saying have a Kush day, not go smoke marijuana. The convention runs from Friday through Sunday.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, this is in the Denver Post. We took a look at this today. CushCon bus ads. Oh, we don't want to send a mixed message to the children. We don't want to send the wrong message to the children because, you know, when children are looking for their guidance in life, the first place they look is an ad on the side of a city bus. That's where they get their cues in life. You know, never mind the fact that we have a stadium, you know, in Denver, used to be called Mile High Stadium, built with public money. I do believe some public money was involved in that, where alcohol is promoted all over the place. We have a Coors Field. We have a Coors Field for the Colorado Rockies, which I can bet you had some public money involved with it. But no, no, no. We don't want to send the wrong message to the children, because it's not like they look up to baseball players or they look up to football players as role models in any way, and they see alcohol being served in the stands, alcohol being advertised on the TV shows for the baseball games, for the football games, for the basketball games. We see the athletes themselves getting involved in the advertising of alcohol, but don't worry, kids don't look up to those people to get their information, to get their guidance on how they should go in life. It's the ad on a side of a bus for a convention about marijuana. That's what we really have to worry about. Oh my God, we don't want taxpayer money going to something that's advertising a business convention. Oh, we can't have that. Oh, the hypocrisy stinks in here, even up in the Mile High City. This is insane. This is a lawful event, as it was said before. There's not going to be any cannabis on the premises. And medical marijuana has been legal in Colorado since the year 2000. It's in their freaking constitution. Here's something that is a constitutionally protected activity with its own convention going on, and you're saying advertising for that is something we need to watch out for. Boy, howdy, give me a break here. This is insane. It's ridiculous. But once again, some typical that we would find in the reefer madness floating around about marijuana in this country. By the way, speaking of CushCon, for those of you who might be joining us late here or new to the show, we are covering CushCon this week. We will be there Friday, Saturday, Sunday, starting at 4 p.m. Mountain Time on Friday the 17th. We're co-broadcasting with JohnDoeRadio.com. Please check out our live stream here at live.normal.org. We'll be here all 3 days of CushCon, and you'll really enjoy it. I just today received the speaker schedule for CushCon, and check out some of the luminaries who will be appearing there. First of all, Engayo Bilum, the great cannabis comedian from the Bay Area. He'll be emceeing the first day on Friday. There's at 4:30 p.m., 4:30 to 6 p.m., there's a speakers, the National Cannabis Political Power Panel. I love that. The National Cannabis Political Power Panel, featuring Governor Gary Johnson, Normal founder Keith Strop, Aaron Houston from SSDP, Steph Scherer from Americans for Safe Access, Stephen D'Angelo from Harborside Health Centers, Paul Stanford from the THC Foundation, Steve Fox from Marijuana Policy Project, Aaron Smith from the National Cannabis Industries Association, myself, Russ Belville from Normal Show Live, and we will be the National Cannabis Political Power Panel. I am so honored to be included in that list. At 6 o'clock, 6 to 7, there's a special Grow Seminar with Ed Rosenthal, Ask Ed, Growing with Ed, and of course his new book, the Ed Rosenthal's Marijuana Growers Handbook, which we will have autographed by Ed Rosenthal, Keith Strop, and Tommy Chong. This is our big auction gift that we are giving away at KushCon. So far, the highest bid so far is $100 for that. Coming up also on Friday, the Cannabis Medical Science Breakthrough Panel, featuring Dr. Bob Melamed, Bucky Miner, Craig Saar, Irv Rosenfeld, the federal medical marijuana patient, Dr. Shackelford, Cheryl Schumann, and Timothy Tipton. On Saturday, they've got a panel including Governor Gary Johnson, J.B. Woods, Warren Edson, this is Colorado's political panel, Matt Cook, Councilman Doug Linkhart, Senator Romer, Mason Tvert from SAFER, Brian Vincente from Sensible Colorado, Rob Corey, attorney, and Matt Kuman, attorney, both from the Normal Legal Committee. Also later that day, the Cannabis Hemp Wellness Panel, all sorts of great folks showing up at that one. And on Sunday, a political powerhouse women's panel, including Ann Davis from Normal, New Jersey, and many others involved with the Normal movement all across this country. Also great music. We'll tell you more about it when we get to our cannabis community calendar. It's time for us to take that special break. It's 20 after the hour. It's 4:20 in the Eastern Time Zone. Join us, will you? Sit back, relax. We'll be right back after this.
It's 20 after the hour, and we have to take a short break, if you know what I mean. Please support these sponsors who support Normal Show Live.
Oh, have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. Have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. If he said he swam to China, he would send you South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
...76% of Americans no longer support arresting and jailing marijuana smokers. And nearly as many support the medical patients having access to medical marijuana. And over 80% of our citizens now believe the war on drugs is an ineffective failure. So the question is, when will the government's misguided war on adult marijuana smokers finally end? When? Simple. When you and your like-minded friends, family, and co-workers get involved with an organization such as the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws, also known as NORML. My name is Keith Strop, and I founded the organization in 1970. Contact us at NORML, toll-free, 888-67-NORML, or by visiting the organization's up-to-date webpage at www.normal.org.
It's time for your daily Toker Tunes, the best in 420-friendly music from all genres that uplifts, entertains, and informs the public. Today we bring you tunes for Roots Monday, our celebration of the music that evolved into the popular modern music of today. We pick the best of blues, country, folk, and jazz with a 420 feel and serve it up for you every Monday. Brought to you by Cannabis Carry in Astoria, Oregon, and CannabisFantastic.com. If you'd like to submit your song to be played on Normal Show Live, send it to us at stash@normal.org. Now here's some more great independent marijuana music for today's Daily Toker Tunes.
Welcome back, folks. We're going to dig way deep into the archives here for some great music from the Reefer Jazz era. Cannabis Carry, tell us all about it.
well, you know, we love all this old reefer jazz. It sort of reminds us that, you know, we didn't just belong to us or our parents in the 60s. It went back a lot farther than that.
Oh, yeah.
Buster Bailey is the artist today. He was a session jazz musician that specialized in the clarinet, but he also played the saxophone on many jazz tracks in the 1920s and 1930s. He was from Memphis, Tennessee, and he learned to play the clarinet from the same teacher as Barry Goodman did, Franz Schulp. He left home to tour with an orchestra back in 1917 when he was only 15 years old. And by 1924, he met up with Louis Armstrong, and the two became quick friends, and he joined Armstrong in New York City to play as a member of Fletcher Henderson's orchestra, a band that Armstrong was playing with at the time. The next 15 years would see Buster Bailey playing with many different jazz greats and lending his talents to numerous recordings for friends and top-notch musicians. In the late 30s, Buster Bailey began recording music as Buster Bailey and his Rhythm Busters, and today's Toker tune is from that era. It's titled Light Up. Now, Buster performed through the 40s and 50s and 60s. He rejoined with Louis Armstrong in 1965 as a member of his all-star jazz band. He died in April of 1967 of a heart attack, but of course left a lot of great music for us to enjoy today. So please enjoy today's old reefer jazz tune, Light Up, with Buster Bailey and his Rhythm Busters.
And the good times roll. Let the pleasure pop. Now let's take a stroll.
Light up.
Let's all get mellow.
Light up.
Get smoke in your eyes.
Light up.
Get hip, I say, fella.
Light up.
Say, what is this jive?
Light up.
Let's all get ready.
Light up.
I know how you feel.
Light up.
Now don't be a Freddy. You'll find what I mean in any old field.
Pop.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
Blow.
8, 9, 10, and then 11.
Light up.
Now get your day going.
Light up.
I'm saying that's the thing.
Light up.
Don't let that man get you. Just pop on your cig and blow the smoke ring.
Song for your iPod? Check out the Daily Toker Tunes at the Stash blog by surfing to stash.normal.org and choosing media and then Toker Tunes from the main menu.
It only comes twice a day, but I don't care.
It's 420 somewhere.
All right, it's time to check out Normal's Cannabis Community Calendar, which you can find at normal.org/calendar. On Monday, December 13th, tonight, the Southwest Michigan Compassion Club is meeting at the American Legion Hall in Buchanan, Michigan. Also, Madison Normal in Madison, Wisconsin will be meeting for their monthly meeting at the Wilmar Center in Madison, Wisconsin. Tuesday, December 14th, the weekly medicating event taking place at the Phoenix Cafe in Hazel Park, Michigan, and the Greater Torch Lake Area Compassion Club will be meeting at the Alden Library in Alden, Michigan. Hemp TV is also on the air in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Call 505-880-0666 for tickets to the show. Wednesday, December 15th, Thursday, and Friday, there will be no regular episodes of Normal Show Live. We will be traveling to Denver for our coverage of KushCon. But on Wednesday, December 15th, Benzie County Normal in Benzonia, Michigan will be meeting. They always meet on the third Wednesday of every month. Contact Reverend Steve at 231-882-4496 for more information. Grand Traverse Compassion Connection meeting is happening also in Traverse City, Michigan. Check out gtcompassionconnection.org for details. Tulsa Normal in Tulsa, Oklahoma will be meeting at the Hardesty Regional Library Wednesday, December 15th, working to end marijuana prohibition in the state of Oklahoma. Thursday, December 16th, Schoolcraft County Normal is having their meeting at Hypnotic Hydroponics in Manistique, Michigan. And on Friday, December 17th, there is a book signing. Danny Danko will be in Portland, Oregon, signing books at Alternative Medical Choices. It's his new Field Guide to Strains. There's only 25 copies available. $30 admission gets you in the door and a copy of the book and a chance to speak with Danny Danko. That's at Alternative Medical Choices in Portland, Oregon, Friday, December 17th. Check altmedchoices.com for more information. On Saturday, December 18th, the Oregon Medical Cannabis Awards take place in Portland, Oregon at the world-famous Cannabis Cafe. For more information, check out ornorml.org. Danny Danko will also be appearing at the Oregon Medical Cannabis Awards doing a grow seminar. Tickets are limited, so contact Oregon Normal at ornorml.org today. Also, Friday, December 17th, Saturday, December 18th, and Sunday, December 19th is KushCon 2 in Denver, Colorado. 300,000 square feet of marijuana exhibition and vendors and great music. We will be covering it live with John Doe Radio, so make sure you tune in. There are all sorts of great musical acts that will be there at the KushCon, including on Friday the 17th, Mickey Avalon, Asher Roth, and Flowbots. On December 18th, Aaron Lewis, Mixmaster Mike from the Beastie Boys, and the Dirty Heads. And Sunday, December 19th, Santana's Greg Raleigh, who was also the leader of Journey for a long time before the Steve Perry years, and the seminal 70s rock band War will be appearing Sunday, December 19th. You know them from Spill the Wine, Cisco Kid, Lowrider, Why Can't We Be Friends? Great hits on Sunday, December 19th. We will be there. Normal Show Live will be covering it all 3 days. We also have information on the speakers who will be appearing. We gave you some of that earlier in the show. If you're coming to see me speak, I will be speaking on Friday and on Sunday. On Friday, I will be speaking from 4:30 to 6 o'clock as part of the National Cannabis Political Power Panel. And then on Sunday, I will be a part of the Investment and Career Opportunities in the Cannabis Industry Panel, taking place Sunday, 2 o'clock to 3:30 p.m. For more information on all of this, you can check out our blog at stash.normal.org or just visit Normal's Cannabis Community Calendar at norml.org/calendar.
Starfish Designs, makers of the original Gandalf.
I'm Radical Russ, and when I want to relax, I always have my 17-inch long original Gandalf from Starfish Designs nearby. The hand-blown borosilicate glass is strong and easy to clean, and the design is sleek and sophisticated. Starfish Designs are available from Bend, Oregon at a glass retailer near you. For locations, call 541-788-GLASS. That's 541-788-4527.
Legalize marijuana? Prove it. Join Normal today at NORML.org, and your donation will help us spread the growing truth about cannabis. Free speech ain't free, you know.
Free the ganja tree, it's the healing of the nation. Free the Cali weed, good for meditation. Free the pot smokers, they're in a delight. Lighting up the chalice, they keep no malice.
Don't the healing, my
Welcome back, everyone. 32 after the hour, and we got some special stuff coming up for you today on Normal Show Live. As we round out the end of 2010, we are going to be taking a look back at some of the best radical rants, some of the best interviews, and some of the most amazing and shocking news stories of 2010. Today, we're going to begin that with a look back to this summer when I did a radical rant about what is wrong with getting high. And the idea, of course, being how are we going to rephrase the reframe the act of getting high, because until we do that, we can't make much more progress on ending marijuana prohibition. Enjoy this from May 27th of 2010. This is What's Wrong with Getting High.
Don't touch that dial. We'll be right back after a word from these 420 friendly sponsors. Wait a minute. This is internet radio. There are no dials here.
Ever wonder how often to change your bong water? The most effective method for making pot brownies? The best destinations for a ganja getaway? How to hide herb in your car? Whether to grow your own? How precisely to legalize it? Or how something as wonderful as marijuana ever got to be illegal in the first place. Finally, you can find all these answers and much more in the official High Times Pot Smokers Handbook, featuring 420 things to do when you're stoned. Since 1974, High Times Magazine has covered marijuana in all its aspects and wonders, from cultivation to legalization to the herb's enduring and exalted place in popular culture. Packed with inside information, the official High Times Pot Smokers Handbook wove all of his collected wisdom together into a single indispensable ganja guide, including an entertaining look at marijuana's history, profiles of herb-friendly travel destinations and festivals, favorite potluck recipes from the High Times staff, smoking skills, advocacy and activism, essential marijuana movies and songs, profiles of famous cannabis strains, comprehensive growing information, celebrity endorsements, and much more. This is truly, finally, the ultimate guide to green living.
Alternative Medical Choices presents Danny Danko. High Times Magazine Senior Cultivation Editor Danny Danko will meet and greet fans, answer questions, and sign copies of his newest book, The High Times Field Guide to Marijuana Strains. Admission is only $30 and includes a copy of Danny's book. Call 503-288-5579 for more information or visit altmedchoices.com. Come meet the great Danny Danko.
Egyptians grew it, Indians grew it, so it's grown more weed.
Cannabinoids and health.
Cannabinoids.
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 Why am I having trouble saying that?
Cannabinoids.
Jeez.
Cannabinoids.
What a gift. Play more, play more.
You want answers?
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!
You want answers?
You have offended my family?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
And you have offended the Shaolin Temple.
You can't handle the truth!
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious, and don't call me Shirley.
Hoo-ah!
Radical rant.
Welcome back, listeners, and I want to talk today about the facts on marijuana and driving. I was turned on to a story from the Huffington Post today, written by Jessica Corey. She's an attorney, and she's with the women's marijuana movement out there in Denver. And she pointed out some things about the push in Colorado to get per se impaired driving standards for cannabis. This would be similar to what we think of as a breathalyzer for alcohol. You know, with alcohol, if you blow above a 0.08 blood alcohol content, they consider you per se impaired. That just means no matter how great you were driving, if you're above 0.08, then you are drunk. Well, they want to have the same thing for marijuana, where if they test your blood and they find the THC is above 5 nanograms per milliliter, they want to consider you too stoned to drive no matter how great you were driving. So I want to get to the facts on this, and there's no better expert in the United States about these items than Paul Armentano, Normal's deputy director. He's been called to testify many times. He's been part of many scientific committees on this. And there's a great white paper, I should say, that's available on Normal's website, normal.org. It's called Cannabis and Driving, a Scientific and Rational Review. I encourage anyone who wants to argue about these points, who wants to talk about this, to get this white paper, because not only does it have all the truth written in a very easy way to read and understand, but it's also completely hyperlinked and referenced. All the citations are there to all the studies, so they don't have to take your word for it. You can point to the scientists who've actually studied this thing. Now, as we get started in this rant, let's point out that one of Normal's principles of responsible use is no driving. A person should not be driving and using cannabis. A person should not be driving shortly after using cannabis. It's just not a good idea. Not just from a public safety point of view, but really more from a personal protection point of view. The number one place you're going to ever get busted with marijuana is in your car. It's the number one place where we have interactions with police. So just from a personal protection point of view, it's probably not a good idea to smoke and drive or to smoke shortly or to drive shortly after smoking. Nevertheless, the questions still remain about the comparison of marijuana to alcohol. While it has been pretty well demonstrated scientifically that the level of blood alcohol in your body corresponds pretty well to how impaired you might be as a driver, we don't have such evidence with respect to marijuana. So let's take a look at the information that we have. Now, as far as drugged drivers being a causal factor, you know, a lot of times we get these studies, they say, oh, we tested all these people and they tested positive for pot. All these people who got in wrecks tested positive for pot. However, that doesn't tell you whether or not the pot caused the wreck, especially if the test we're looking at is a urine test. And this is the first thing all you reformers out there need to know about drug testing. There are two different ways that are commonly used to detect whether or not a person has been using marijuana. One is a urine test. Now, this is what people are familiar with when they're going out and getting a job, the old pee in a cup test. What they are detecting there is not THC. They are not detecting active marijuana when you are giving a pee test. What they are detecting is a metabolite of THC. Metabolite, all that means is something that's created as a byproduct when your body metabolizes something. So when you smoke pot, you take THC into your body. That THC then causes, you know, whatever, makes you like jam bands, makes you eat too many Cheetos, whatever it is that marijuana causes for you. And then after it's been used, the byproduct, the waste product, if you will, of that is the metabolite. Now, in urine tests, they're testing for THC-COOH, THC-COO, or what we call carboxy-THC. Number one, the fact that there's a metabolite of THC tells you there's no more THC, okay? So when they're detecting carboxy-THC, they're detecting the after effects of someone having used THC. So in a sense, you could actually say that a urine test is an anti-stoned test. It tells when you're not stoned because you can't produce those metabolites until you've already metabolized the THC. And this is something we've talked about many times with respect to workplace drug testing, how inaccurate it is because the THC-COO molecule, the carboxy THC molecule, is fat soluble. It'll stay in your body for a long time. People who are infrequent smokers, it may stay in your body for as long as 7 days. If you're a more frequent smoker, it might stay as long as 30 days. If you're an everyday, multi-times-a-day fat toker like me, it could stay in there for 90 days. So it has no bearing on whether or not you are currently impaired when they're detecting carboxy THC in your urine. But that's not what Colorado's talking about. They're not talking about using urine tests to try to detect whether you're stoned. They're talking about using blood testing. Blood testing is slightly more accurate. What they're testing for in blood testing is THC. They are testing for the active THC that makes you high. And it's been determined here that tests of up to 5 nanograms per milliliter are fairly evident of someone who has used marijuana recently. This is the statement from Paul Armentano. Typically, these studies reveal that drivers who possess a THC blood concentration above 5 nanograms per milliliter imply cannabis inhalation within the past 1 to 3 hours and experience an elevated risk of accident compared to drug-free controls. So science is in on this. If you smoked pot within the past hour to 3 hours, you will test above 5 nanograms per milliliter, and you will likely be impaired as compared to someone who is not using cannabis. However, and this is, again, with this discussion, there's so many howevers here. While the 5 nanograms per milliliter does show that you smoke pot within 1 to 3 hours, and that does show you're more impaired than you would be if you hadn't smoked pot, just how impaired is that? 2 recent case-controlled studies have assessed this risk in detail. Again, according to Paul Armentano's writing in the Cannabis and Driving, the Scientific and Rational Review. A 2007 case-controlled study published in the Canadian Journal of Public Health reviewed 10 years of U.S. auto fatality data. Investigators found that U.S. drivers with blood alcohol levels of 0.05, and remember, legally drunk is 0.08, so people at 0.05 would not necessarily be considered impaired in America. Those people were 3 times as likely to have engaged in unsafe driving activities prior to a fatal crash as compared to individuals who tested positive for marijuana. Let me rephrase that. People who test at 0.05 have a 3 times greater risk on the road than people who test positive for marijuana. People who are under the legal threshold of alcohol impairment at 0.05 are 3 times more dangerous than people smoking pot for marijuana. That's the 2007 study. In the 2005 review of auto accident fatality data from France, they showed similar results, finding the drivers who tested positive for any amount of alcohol had a 4 times greater risk of having a fatal accident than did drivers who tested positive for marijuana in the blood. And in that study, even drivers with low levels of alcohol present in their blood, below 0.05 on the blood alcohol on the breathalyzer, experienced a greater elevated risk as compared to drivers who tested positive for high concentrations of cannabis above 5 nanograms per milliliter. Both studies noted that overall few traffic accidents appeared to be attributed to drivers operating a vehicle while impaired by cannabis. So, Colorado and other states, there are other states that have this this standard, are trying to tell us that if you test above 5 nanograms per milliliter, you're 1/3 as likely to get, you know, in an accident of someone who is an alcohol drinker, 1/4 as likely to be in a fatal accident, and yet they want to consider that too impaired by pot to drive. Well, here's the bad news, folks. It may be a political reality that we have to accept. And the problem is that the breathalyzer exists. People don't accept the 0.08 BAC as being something that stops drunk driving. What they accept it as is something that stops drunks from driving. I know it's a weird concept to get your mind around, but the point is, the people don't accept the breathalyzer because it has been proven to have any any effect on stopping drunk driving. They just like it because it has the illusion of stopping drunk driving. It's like the pat downs in the airport. It's like pouring out your thing in the airport, right? It doesn't really do anything to stop terrorism, but it makes us all feel better. Well, that's what breathalyzers do. There are plenty of people who can blow above a 0.08 and drive well. You know, alcoholism is a progressive disease, and one of the hallmarks of alcoholism is tolerance to alcohol. A full-blown alcoholic could blow twice the legal limit, 0.16, and still be able to pass most field sobriety or driving tests. And yet, with cannabis, we find people drive slower. We find that people who tested on a simulator of driving drove just as well before smoking pot as after smoking pot. But the problem is, it's not about impairment. The breathalyzer isn't trying to stop impairment. It's giving people a magical machine that has a magical number that'll keep us all safe from the drunks. And that's what the voting public wants for marijuana, unfortunately. it's not that they're too worried about people smoking pot. In fact, you find a lot of people these days have the attitude, I just don't care if you want to smoke pot in your house. Hell, we even heard the former drug czar, General Barry McCaffrey, say, hey, if you're in a log cabin in Oregon and you got plants growing out there, hell, I don't care, right? But they always come back to, what about the children and what about the stone drivers? And with respect to the stone drivers, they want to have a magical machine with a magical number that tells you whether or not you're too stoned to drive. Now, normally this would be something I'd want to fight against, try to get the truth across, but we got to pick our battles. The battle over the breathalyzer has been lost already. We can't come out and say no breathalyzer for pot without saying no breathalyzer for alcohol, and we all know that's not going to happen. The breathalyzer for alcohol is not going anywhere. So we better resign ourselves to the fact there is going to be some sort of scientific test for whether or not we're too stoned to drive, so we need to fight to make sure it's the best possible test from our point of view. This 5 nanograms per milliliter might sound pretty bad until you start looking around some of the other states in this nation that have some of these standards. We have that 5 nanograms per milliliter in Pennsylvania, whereas in Ohio and Nevada, it's 2 nanograms per milliliter. Then we take a look at places like Wisconsin or Iowa, where it's any, Wisconsin, Iowa, and Rhode Island, where it's any nanograms per milliliter in your blood and you're too stoned to drive. Or take a look at the really draconian states out there, South Dakota and Utah and Arizona, a couple others here, where they have zero tolerance for metabolites. Metabolites in your urine that could be there for 90 days. Any tiny amount. You could quit smoking pot today and 90 days from now be a drunk driver in the state of Arizona. And they'll lock you up for 24 hours minimum for that. In Utah, 48 hours minimum if they catch any metabolite in your pee. So given the fact that some of these states are going to push for zero tolerance, we should at least be pushing for something that's reasonable. And I think 5 nanograms per milliliter might be the place to start. I'm Radical Russ. Thanks for joining us here for the show. For Cannabis Carrying Ganja John and everyone here at Normal.org, thanks for supporting Normal. We'll be back here with Hour 2 coming up in just a few seconds. And until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Dang it on one more time. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth.
It's 2 o'clock Pacific Standard Time, Pacific Daylight Time. What time is it? I don't care. It's 2 o'clock. Welcome to Toker Talk Radio. It's standard time. That's what it is. Another hour of talk here with those of you joining us on Stickam at Normal Show Live. Appreciate you joining us. No Ganja John on today's show. Unfortunately, he had to go to the hospital. Nothing serious, folks. Don't worry. He's okay. It's just had to go into the hospital for some testing, some scanning, some IVs, all that kind of stuff. We'll be taking your calls here at 971-533-7111. I know people probably disagree a little bit with that last radical rant a bit. Let's talk about it. I'm afraid of this whole stone driving issue. And here's the thing. It's the 5 nanograms per milliliter thing. I saw someone, I think it was John Doe, saying that's too low or too low of a standard. We should be 10 nanograms or 20 nanograms or something. Okay, great. Let's find what that number is and let's fight for it. But I think it's folly to not be fighting for some number. Let's get it legalized. And this is something I've been thinking about as well with respect to the chances of legalization. You know, we've got some legalization meetings going on here in Oregon. And I'm of the opinion lately that we need to legalize first before doing anything else. Ignore every other tangential issue, legalize first. And what does that mean? Well, like in Prop 19, for example, they tried to legalize and they tried to end discrimination by drug testing against marijuana users. Now, I'm completely against drug testing for employment for marijuana users, but trying to fight that battle and at the same time fight the legalization battle is too much to ask the voters to have to do. Let's get it legal, because all the other things have to do with it being illegal, have to do with the morality of it being illegal. Why do we drug test people for employment? Well, because they're smoking illegal pot. So if we go out and legalize, and don't worry about the drug testing thing, just all right, we're going to make it legal, but bosses, you still have all the power you have to drug test people before employment and not hire them. You can discriminate against them. You can still randomly drug test them at work, and if they turn up positive for pot, you can fire them. You can still do that, right? And I know people out there going, what? But follow me on this, right? Let them keep that. Don't let that become the wedge that our opponents use to scare the hell out of the squares by saying, oh my God, your workplace is going to be filled with stoners. Now, it is already. We're already working. But they don't know that, okay? So don't scare the squares by saying, oh, we're getting rid of drug testing for potheads. Keep the drug testing for potheads, but make marijuana legal. Now, once marijuana is legal, now we can start attacking the drug testing. Now we can say, hey, why are you randomly testing and firing someone for doing something legal? We don't do that for alcohol. We don't randomly test people for whether or not they drank beer last weekend and then fire them based on that. So you get my point? Make it legal first, then deal with all the other issues. Same thing goes with stone driving, right? Let's make it legal first, and if getting it legal means signing on to a 5 nanogram per milliliter limit, let's get it legal. Then once it's legal, then we can have some more accurate statistics, and we can have more people who are cognizant of the fact that people are using marijuana. And once we can show, hey, why is it that we have legal alcohol and we have legal marijuana, and yet the legal alcohol causes more accidents, but for the legal marijuana, you test it more severely? Right? Get it legal first. Get marijuana legal, and then every other argument we have to fight, we fight from a position of strength. If we try to put all these things into one big initiative, all right, let's legalize marijuana, let's release all the pot prisoners, let's end drug testing discrimination, and let's have no testing for stone driving, we're never going to get legalization, because we put so much in there, you know, put the kitchen sink into this initiative, that there's something for everyone who hates it to pick apart with. The simpler, the better. We see this when we look at the polling for marijuana legalization, right? You look in the West Coast, marijuana legalization, 58% support. Yet, Prop 19 on the ballot, 46% support. Where did that 12% go? Well, the 12% got caught up in the details. Some of them got pulled away from the commercial aspects that were in the law. They said, oh, I don't want that. Some of them got pulled away by the drug testing, end of drug testing discrimination. Oh my God, I don't want to work next to a stoner. Some of them got pulled away by the fear of stone drivers and not having any per se limit in the initiative that allayed that fear. That's how you peel 12% of support for legalization away, is you give them things that are not legalization for them to be able to attack us on. Just a theory, something I've been thinking about. Because now as I get older, and I've been, you know, 5 years working in this marijuana movement, you know, I came into it very idealistic, like a lot of folks do. You know, I came in very, especially when you learn the truth, right? You hear about marijuana and you think, okay, pot's not that bad. It's not as bad as alcohol. I know people get stoned. Whoopie deal. But then when you start learning the facts, the racism involved in prohibiting it, the restriction of the hemp industry that could save our planet, you start learning these great truths about marijuana and your head nearly explodes and you want to tell everybody, oh my God, this stuff should be legal. What are you doing? But then after a while, you start to realize that truth, facts, and logic don't win. I know, it's sad. It's sad. We got truth, facts, and logic on our side. We got science on our side, medicine on our side. Everything we know about marijuana, we could fill 500-page books with it, and we do. But the truth doesn't win. People need to start learning a little bit about politics, and I recommend looking up a man by the name of George Lakoff, L-A-K-O-F-F. If you've not heard of George Lakoff, read this guy. He talks about framing and how brains work. And the way brains work isn't through reason, folks. People don't do things for reasonable reasons. People do things for moral reasons. People do things based on the framing of ideas. If truth, facts, and logic won, George Bush never would have been president, okay? So get behind me. Oh, I went political. I'm going to get letters. But get behind me on this, okay? It's not, and it's not that truth, facts, and logic are bad. I mean, those are good things to shore up your argument, but the argument itself is a moral one. No matter how much good stuff we say about marijuana, people will still oppose legalizing it if they feel that it is bad and the people who do it are bad. So we can use some of the truth, facts, and logic to try to attack that. However, we need to start by breaking out of their frames. And we'll talk a little bit about that when we come back from break here. We're going to take a little break and get the upload ready for the replays. You'll hear the replays at 3, 5, 7, and 9. Today, a double radical rant day. You get a best of radical rant from the summer, what's wrong with getting high, and a new radical rant we just recorded today on some of the facts behind drug testing. And again, check out normal.org, Cannabis and Driving, a Scientific and Rational Review from Paul Armentano. Everything you need to know about drug testing is in there as far as it pertains to driving, to accident statistics, studies that have been done all over the world to determine the safety of marijuana-using drivers. Again, we are safer than alcohol-using drivers, but we're not as safe as people who don't use anything at all. Let's not try to pull one over on the public by saying there's no risk to marijuana drivers, because there is. There may be a slight risk, maybe a tiny risk, but there's a risk. If we lie about the risks, they will not take us seriously when we talk about marijuana legalization. We always have to remember that. We're always behind the eight ball on this one. We always start two steps behind in the credibility factor just because of all the stereotyping against marijuana and potheads and all of that. So make sure you got your facts lined up. But we need to make this a moral argument, and we'll talk a little bit about that right after the break. In the meantime, here we're going to play some music. We'll pull up some music from the Roots Monday cart, and let's go to Ben Scales, Growing Marijuana in My Yard.